Well, good morning, everybody. Y'all thought you were just going to listen to me at one time, didn't you? They lit me back up here. You get times where, you know, you're walking, you're getting closer to God, and then he starts revealing stuff to you, you know, teaching you. You're learning to listen to his voice a little bit. And, you know, we got a newborn and we got Bubby and they're wild. So times at the house are kind of tough. So I work alone at work on the old parts of the job. And I get a lot of time just to get in the presence when I'm there. It's just me and him. And, you know, like I said, putting things on my heart, like trying to figure out what you're going to talk about, like, this is all new to me, and I'm trying to do the best I can. But it's, you know, it's tough because you're worried. You're like, oh, my goodness, what do I teach on? You know, what do I talk about? And then he'll just hit you. Y'all want to look around for a minute? I'm serious. Just look around at the church. It's Sunday school. It's a lot of people for Sunday school. The Lord is doing something. And I've seen a little bit of this before, and the great falling away that we have used for 100 years, that's a bunch of hogwash. Get rid of it. It's gone. They're coming. They're wanting fed. They're seeing God move. People that I haven't talked to since high school, I'm seeing now that didn't even believe in a God, that are saying, "Were you preaching?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm teaching. I'm trying to bring forth the word." Well, man, that's awesome. And these are the same people that would have tried to knock your teeth out when you're in high school trying to talk to them. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to say is this movement comes with two things. And one is a movement of the Lord that we're all getting to enjoy and see every day. And the next thing that rises up is your enemy. Anytime good happens, he's going to try to walk in a crack somewhere, try to fight you a little bit, try to aggravate you. He does it time and time again. I learned that from a very young age. But to jump into things this morning, I'm going to read out of Ephesians chapter 6, and this is the New King James. So give everybody a minute to find that, and we'll start here, and y'all bear with me because I got all kinds of scripture, so I don't know where we're gonna go, but we got a lot of scripture. So I'm gonna read from verse 12 here. If you would like to stand for the reading of God's word. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand there, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." You can be seated. Now, I think we actually talked about a little bit of the armor in the last group I was in with Ted. We touched on that some. And I don't think this was given to us for us to just skip over it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we read things in the Bible sometimes and it just like goes to like the trash email of your brain. You know, I'm just gone. But this here, and actually me and my wife have started trying to do this each morning that we get up, I physically pull a helmet over my head and I'll grab a shield, because like this just said, Satan ain't strong enough or powerful enough to come to you in the flesh and fight you. We're above him. So he's going to fight you like a coward that he is. He's going to poke and prod and try to find behind you or something else like this. So when, yet again, if we could get out of flesh and get into spirit and grab this shield, the sword, the helmet, all these things, and actually you put this on, and let me just, I'm a war history type dude. Like, I love just anything with the history of war. None of this armor covers your back. Everything that's girded and covered to fight is in the front. You know, the pieces in between your breastplate and like your neck would be uncovered. It's all shield. That's why it says, above all, grab the shield of faith. Because it don't matter which way he comes, that shield can be moved in the direction of a spear or a dart or whatever. Y'all bear with me. Because I'm going to try to talk about a few things, and it's kind of tough. Because we're talking about the enemy, and listen, he don't fight fair. He's going to do everything in the world. And I'm not just talking about anger and aggravation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking sin. Sin that will absolutely tear you apart. I love seeing this church full. It warms my heart, and it just burns my soul up to see people just, they're finding God on their own accord. They're not being provoked to come find him now. People's walking through the door that I don't think they've ever been in a church. They're walking through the door and getting saved. That's the Holy Ghost. That's God working. That's what that is. But we got to help them. We got to lead them. We have to disciple them. That failed once before. I have been here once before. I ain't been to this part because now I'm in the position where I need to start discipling people. But I've been in their shoes once before. And the great falling away, when did I get discipled? I got saved and then threw to the wolves. I didn't even get the armor and just got threw in the field. How do you expect a babe to fight in the field? I understand now where I was and what was going on and everything else and why I fell. But I'm going to do everything in my power for the next 5 or 6 that walk through that door that find Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk them just as far as I can walk them into him. That way, when all this junk comes about, they know what to do. They get this word and they shove it into his head and they say, "All right, you aggravating thing, get away from me." It's something that I am just now learning to do. And it's tough. None of this is easy, but it's rewarding.
Amen.
When you, like, I can remember the beginning of this year, like, the first time I, like, fought him. You know what I'm saying? And not so much me, but you know what I'm saying. You get tempted and you this, that, and what have you in your head, and finally it was like, go to the Word, you know? And I was like, okay, I never done this, so let's try this. So I just start spitting the Word. And it just falls away. I said, I'm telling you, right there it is. That's all it takes, you know? It was that easy, and I failed for this long.
Yeah. Amen.
But we have got to get in the front of the babes. We know how to use the shield and the sword.
Bless you, Lord.
And it's time for us to stand in the gap for them. Because they're learning. They're hungry. They're growing. They're moving. And every time they do that, you know what comes from the backside, from the coward, from your adversary, from your enemy. He's, like I said, coward. He is not going to stand face to face with you and fight you one-on-one. It ain't gonna happen. He walks in, and if we give him a dark place like anger or aggravation or pride, he just tightropes it. You know what I'm saying? Like right here in this dark. It gives him a path to get right in, and he hits you where your armor don't cover. And you can't get the shield turned around because he's in the dark. You can't see him. Anybody tried to fight in the dark? It's hard, ain't it? That's why they got night vision and everything nowadays. That's why everybody's so advanced. Back like World War I type deal. You know what would get you killed in a trench? If you had a cigarette lit and your hand was that far above the trench, they would see the ember of a cigarette and they could shoot you in the hand. Back then, that would kill a man unless they got the bleeding stopped. You know, they wasn't advanced like we are. They'd tape him up, try to save him, but normally if you got shot, something got hit bad, you were gone. In the darkness. So, something I've been trying to do. Pray to hate sin. Not the people, but pray to hate sin. And see how far that takes you. When your heart breaks for people who are lost, for people who are stuck in lust, anger, I mean all of it. You see somebody like just out and man, you walk by him and your heart just shatters and you're like, gosh, I know where he's at. I've been there. And if he would just find Jesus and somebody help him out, he could go. It's a tough topic, but we need to know. Especially for all the younger people that are coming in. I have been in your shoes, on fire, ready to go, ready to fight. But he don't fight fair. And he gives you something when you're 14, 15 years old that you don't even see coming. My flesh is lustful. And that's what he throwed to me. And I ran with it from like 15 to 25. And it is so freeing to finally get rid of all that garbage. When you just find the one, listen, you're trying to fill a hole. There ain't but one that will fill that void, that hurt, that agony that you got in your chest. Feels like you're sick all the time right here. There ain't but one. I found him this year right here. The importance of that altar. I'm going to throw another one back there. He will never fight you fair. I was ready for like full-on flesh fighting. You know what I'm saying? Like him showing up and trying to beat me up and all that good stuff. It never goes that way. Like I said, he is a coward. And you are above him. So anytime we give in to him, you are given something that is less than you. More power over you. Like, people that come in church, and listen, I understand Satan fights you. But you come into church and say, oh Lord, Satan's been on me all week. You just walked him through the door. You're not supposed to be here for him. You're supposed to be here for the line of the tribe of Judah. That died for all of our sins. Hallelujah. To give us a way away from him. Hallelujah. To put him in a miry muck, I'm going to say that, and walk away. Because there, he's got no power over any one of us. None. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. Jesus. Just goes to show you Jesus was there. Had to fight with that before, but he was there. He's the one that said within his heart, I'm going to ascend. I'm going to go above God. Pride entered. And the God that you're supposed to be serving, that we are supposed to be serving,
kicked him out of heaven. Why do we give him power and authority when he has none? He's got lies. And from the beginning of time, that's what he's done. That's never going to change up. It's been shown time and time and time again. He comes to Eve in the garden. He comes to tempt Jesus. Everything he does is a lie. No truth in it. And all he can do is try to twist the truth to get you to believe for just 1 second. And then when he's got you for that 1 second, then he can drag you on down because you get your mind off of the Savior. When you start with this false doctrine and this ear-tickling garbage that's going on all over this country, listen, it burns me up. If it does not come from this holy Bible, listen, young people, new people, old people, I don't care who you are, quit going to TikTok and Facebook and ChatGPT and everything else to find your scripture. Get in the Word of God. It's wrote with the Holy Spirit, and it's true. Hallelujah. It's time to throw all of this crap away. We are starting, and not the church, but people as a whole. I seen something on Facebook yesterday that said Christians, new Christians nowadays, don't think half of what this book says is a sin anymore. How do we do that? If this book says you don't need to do this, or you need to cut it off, do it. Because this book, listen, and another thing, people just say, oh, it's just a book. Well, this book has been more right than news in the last 10 years. So, you pick what you want. CNN can't get it, but this book has. Some of us have let God prune the tree. Y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all ever trimmed a tree back? Used to do that with Papa all the time. And see, what happens is there's always growth when you get pruned, right? But that's on a healthy tree that bears fruit. And Jesus cursed the fig tree that would bear no fruit, and it died at the root. It's time for some of us to lay that garbage down and let it die right here. Put it on this altar and let God burn it and get rid of it. Sin will drag you straight to hell. I've done it. I've been there. I'm not trying to chastise you or anything else. Listen, I'm halfway talking to myself right now. I have been there in all the evil, all the ugliness and everything else, completely shoving God away. I get it. But it is time. Listen, you are seeing God move, not just here. I'm talking all across the world. People are giving their lives for this in China and stuff right now. Dying for it. And y'all have heard it all your life. I've heard it all my life. We're in the end days. We are the closest generation to ever see the coming of Jesus Christ. Ever. And honestly, I don't know what's held him up other than love and mercy. Y'all seen how evil everything is? You can't watch the news. It'll drag you straight down into depression mode, man. That's all they want to show. It's all Satan. Who all's got iPhones? Just about everybody. Y'all ever took your case off that phone and turned that thing around? What's on there, Pat? Y'all remember what Eve done? I don't think, listen, and people get a little too deep into that, okay, but I don't think there's any coincidence in that. Yes. Something that could be so evil, and it's right here in the palm of her hand. Listen, he works with all these evildoers of the world, sons of the devil, I believe, was it John said that? And they work because they work under him. They may not even know it, but that's what they're doing. They are pushing the agenda of Satan into the world. And there's only one thing that separates that from being catastrophic, okay? I'm talking real bad times. That is us and the Holy Spirit of God that still moves. If you're here and you're not saved, it is by grace that you're here. That you drive on the road every day and don't get killed in a car wreck or go home and die of a heart attack or anything else. It is by the grace of Jesus Christ that he loves you so much that he says, God, give him one more day. If you'll give him one more day, I might be able to usher him in. Or I can send somebody to talk. That's why it's so important when you get something laid on you that I need to go talk with somebody or speak to somebody or text somebody or pray for somebody. God has already ordained everything else. Be obedient and go do it. All you got to do is say those three words that God tells you to say, and those people might find him. See what I'm saying? I've failed at that. I've walked by people, football games and everything. And I mean, it's God stands me straight up. You know what I'm saying? I just keep on walking. If they would have died that night, they were going to hell. And I could have been, if I'd have been obedient, because I felt it, and told them about Jesus, they might have given their life right there, next Sunday, whatever. Whatever it is. So we're starting this off pretty good. So I'm going to go to Ezekiel.
Josh, you know how what you're talking about, you know, as scripture, you've read. It says, therefore, take to yourselves the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And as you're saying that, what goes through my mind, and like you said, you could read the helmet of salvation and all those things, but exactly what you're talking about, the adversary rules this planet, folks. He
yep.
rules this planet. He controls people that don't know Jesus Christ. You literally are—he's the puppet. He's the puppet master.
Yep.
On this world system, he truly is. That being said, the only way we can defeat him is through Christ.
Amen.
That's the only way. But the Bible says, as you read, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, all those things. It says, therefore, take to yourselves. Okay, because we live in that world that's like that. Therefore, take to yourselves the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, Joe, so what that means is you got something to do too. We talk about the helmet of salvation and the shield and this, that, and the other, but what that's saying is you've got to pick it up. You've got to use it.
Amen.
When you've done all you can do to stand, stand. So in other words, I use this as a bully situation. You know, sometimes bullies come and they're going to keep bullying, bullying, bullying. And Vicky, sooner or later, your back's going to be against the wall. And you've got to make a decision. You're either going to cower up in a corner and let him beat up on you, or you know what, Bo? You're going to step out and just give him what for. You've got to make a decision that you're going to do what God wants you to do. And I think what you're talking about, exactly what you're talking about, the devil operates and wants to operate in our families, in our communities, and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
But if we don't put on the armor of God, that's the whole thing.
Yep.
We love to talk about the armor of God, but are we putting it on? Are we doing, every single person here, think of it, it's your decision, your choice, every single day I get up, am I doing that? Having done all to stand, stand. Are you have you done all to stand? Or have you just, hey, buddy, things are getting rough. Have you read your Bible? Hey, buddy, I don't know what I'm going to do. Have you prayed? Hey, buddy, this is bad news right here. Have you talked to your brother and sister in Christ and had them pray about it? Because we have a job to do as well,
yep.
as what you're saying. And everything that you're bringing out, to me, leans right back to that. Have you done all you can do to stand? There's where we're at today. You're talking about pride and stuff
yeah.
of that nature, and I don't know what scripture you're getting ready to go to, but we have a job, as you're pointing out, we have a responsibility, and that's just not to get up every day and say, woe is me,
yeah.
but it is to do everything that we're supposed to be doing. In other words, Terry, If I'm going to get in a fight with somebody, I better be prepared. And like you said, the devil don't fight fair. And I'm going to be honest with you, when I was growing up, I had older and bigger cousins, and I learned real quick I couldn't fight fair because they wouldn't be one way or another. So if you're going to fight with the devil, then you got to be a little bit cunning to do so. And experience has taught me, Vicki, that I better know the scripture.
Amen.
That I better wake up every day knowing if he can get me from behind, if he can sneak up on me, he's going to do it. I have learned through experience that he is a rascal. I hate him.
Yep.
But his desire is to tear every single one of us down. And if we will do what the Bible said, then everything we can do to stand, then guess what? We can overcome. The Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us.
Yep.
But are we doing everything we can do? That's the question. Are we doing that, Josh?
It's good that you brought that up. And with you bringing that up, I'm going to go ahead and I said Ezekiel, but I'll read out of Matthew here, chapter 4, if you want to write that down or even find it. This is from verse 3 here. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up unto the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So I just want to point a couple things out from this scripture. For one, Satan knows this Bible. He knows the scripture. He was there with God and was the leader of worship. Y'all remember that? You know, and he was beautiful or whatever. But he knows this. So yet again, quit getting your scripture from TikTok and Facebook. That aggravates the life out of me. Man can take that and change one word and it changes the whole scripture. Get in this Bible and read it for yourself. Quit relying on other people to find Jesus Christ. If you will read a chapter in this book, he will come to you and minister to your heart. People that's lost, if you're here this morning and you're lost, and you feel like somebody has ripped your heart out of your chest, this needs talked about because people don't know what to do with this. He is ministering to you, trying to call you, trying to love on you. We don't talk about these things anymore. No, listen, this generation that you're seeing come here have no clue. None. But they're seeing something that they ain't never seen, and they can't explain it. So they say, chances are it's pretty real. When they can't explain, they do two things. They say, well, that's real or that's fake. And we all know God is real. He moves every Sunday, every day. What is it? Friday's the only day that somebody ain't here? Or Saturday one? God dwells in his house. And we are supposed to bring those people in that know sin. That's it. I'm talking dirty, rotten people like I was. So that when they come through that door, God can minister and bring them forth. Bring them out of sin. You ever watch somebody that's been chained down for 100 years and they finally get broke free? Y'all ever seen that? I've seen a couple times of that. That is awesome. People go to falling out and screaming and hooping and hollering. That's the Holy Ghost.
people are getting to enjoy something that that person has dealt with all their life. And nothing. And I don't think this church does this very bad, okay? But churches, we're supposed to be the body of Christ. I don't care if you're Baptist. I don't care if you're Church of God. I don't care if you're Methodist. I don't care if you're the First Church of Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are. We are supposed to be the body of Christ. So it is time to stop coming to church and acting holier than thou when we're here, and then go out to dinner somewhere and cuss people that don't even know Jesus. It's time to let Jesus kill the root and get rid of it. Man, that went quick. Oh, goodness. But in this, he knows the word, and he's continuously fighting, but Jesus shows you what to do with it. Take my word and put against his false doctrine and his garbage and lies, and he will flee. I'm learning that here. You said to tie him up, Terry, Tuesday night. I love that. If you picture tying Satan, I'm talking hog tie. You ever seen that? Hog tie. And then drag him to Jesus and throw him at the feet and say, there he is, deal with him. And you walk away. That works. That is awesome. That brings him down to where he's supposed to be. He is below you. We replaced him. We were set up in the image of God, ready to do what he was supposed to do. Worship. We are supposed to worship God like the angels that float around the throne that say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's all we're supposed to do. If you'll just start doing that, life will get better. Because as you do that, the Holy Spirit will come and sit with you and minister. If you're hurt, if you're sick, if you're mad, if you're angry, and I can tell you all about the angry and the mad part. I was bad, okay? Get mad at anything. But when you tie him up, the book of Isaiah says when he falls into hell, people are going to look at him and say, is that really the dude that caused all this chaos, that shook the earth, that caused nations to fall? Is that the guy? That shows you right there how much further you are above him. And I guess what I'm trying to say this morning, listen, and I'm not trying to call nobody out, but I'm learning this, okay? If you are struggling with something, if you are chained down, I don't care if the rest of your body's free, if you're chained here with a 6-inch chain, you can't do nothing. Just if it's one arm that's chained. Get up here, please. If somebody judges you, they need to come up here too. That's not supposed to be what we do. You're supposed to rejoice when they come up here. It's time to get away from all this belly aching and crying and traditional things that make you sit on your hands and you can't move and you can't talk, you can't praise God. What do you think the children of Israel done when they walked around Jericho for 7 days? They blew a trumpet and then they shouted. This was not a fall. It was a war cry. And when they shouted, the walls fell. God moved and they entered the city and took it. Get up here and lift your voice to the one that you're supposed to. You wanna know what's wrong with a lot of people? You buried him. And rolled the rock straight back over the tomb. He's not there. He's at the right hand of the Father. Making intercession for you. Even when you're acting like that, he'll say, God, I know. Let me deal with him. It's time to get out of that crap. You are seeing God move each and every time. Quit tying his hands. Because when you do that, he just backs away. He's a gentleman. Amen. He's not going to fight to be with you. He's shown the children of Israel that from the beginning of time. Every time they do something wrong, he just... And then they go, woe is me for a couple hundred years. John done fought. Love him. Start praying that you love God with your whole heart and see how far that goes. You can't hurt somebody that you love. I can't hurt Kayla Marie. Love her with all my heart. Start taking that to God. Directing that love for somebody or something. Like, listen, if you're single, it's tough being a Christian and being single. Direct that love at God and see where it gets you. I'm learning right now how to love God, how to fear God. When you start praying for these things, he'll start ushering a little bit in. And he'll show you something in here. And you'll say, man, that is awesome. And then you'll start praying again. You get in a prayer closet. And you want to know why I think it's so important to speak life out of your mouth instead of death and aggravation and stress and everything else? Satan is not omnipresent or all-knowing like God the Father. I know Hollywood and the world and everybody else has made him up to be that way. He is not. He can aggravate you and push and poke and prod. There's only one. That's the Lion of the tribe of Judah that knows what I'm doing after I get out of church here. There's only one. Quit lifting Satan up on a pedestal when he don't even belong on nothing. He hit the earth, and we were made from the dust that he stirred up when he hit. That shows you how much, listen, me and Ted were talking. I know that was aggravating for him. God comes to earth. I'm sure his back's still sore. You know what I'm saying? It probably hurt. Just thinking logically. And God shapes the dust that he stirred up and then breathed. And Adam started walking the earth. You know how bad that hurt? And when he starts here, I'll say, hang on. I ain't got kicked out of heaven. But I think somebody did that I know that's trying to aggravate me. Raise up the power that God has given you. In Luke, the disciples come back and they say, man, like even demons, you got authority over demons. And that's when he says, you know, I've seen Satan fall like lightning. If you are serving the one that has power over them, why in the world do we give them that much credit, power, away? How we do all that? It's pretty simple. Like Jesus done to him. Getting the word. Say, all right, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I'm an aggravated, mad individual. But Jesus loved me anyway. Start getting into the mindset of loving Jesus and hating sin. And know how to resist him. You young guys over here, and I know I've been looking at you a lot. I'm not trying to point you out. I'm just saying, get in the word. I've been there. I have done that not too long ago. And went right down the right-hand side and never found Jesus, okay? You run from him. Get in his word, and he will lead you and guide you and push you where you need to go. I'm just learning that now. But I guess that was my second bell 20 minutes ago. What? I love you guys. Let's let God move and minister. And if you are lost,